All right. Our next guest, who we're going to talk to momentarily, was on your favorite show.
The Munsters?
No.
It's Facts of Life?
No, it's a show that mostly women and you watch.
The View.
Yes, you love that show.
The View.
All right, Dennis Leary, fresh from his appearance on The View. Dennis, I love you. Can I just tell you that right from the start?
Well, can I just tell you, you are obviously a very, very smart woman.
Yep. And Dennis, I also have strong feelings toward you. Not love,
you
but
do.
I have strong feelings, yeah.
Loved Rescue
Well,
Me.
That's fine.
Yeah.
I have been a fan of yours forever and ever and ever, and now you're an author, and let's talk about the new book, because you're going to insult both sides, basically, aren't you?
Well, listen, it's called Why We Don't Suck and How All of Us Need to Stop Being Such Partisan Little Bitches. And the reason I wrote it is because everybody's gotten so divisive, and you know, my Republican friends don't speak to my Democratic friends. Everybody's losing their sense of humor. I just wanted to write a book that is hopefully going to make you laugh your ass off while discussing things that might still suck in this country, but reminding ourselves that, you know, we're still the greatest country on earth, and we can solve any of these problems we want. By the way, I just want to say up front, It's not purely a political book, but if you're a hardcore Hillary fan or a hardcore Trump fan and you don't have a sense of humor, don't buy this book, okay? Because this book is anti-politician and just basically pro-us, okay? So I just felt, you know, my wife's a novelist, Ann Leary, and she told me this thing. She's working on a new book. She said publishers have these new things called sensitive readers. Have you guys heard about this?
Sure.
I haven't.
Yeah. Okay, so they have these things called sensitive readers. And if you're a novelist or, you know, a person who's writing a historical book or any kind of book, they read your book, your manuscript, and they're millennials, and they go through and they try to find phrases and ideas that might be considered unsafe to young people. And I said, all right, I'm writing a book that's going to put these people under medical care. Okay. I just got to remind all these people that there are no safe spaces. Okay. There are not. I'm a human trigger warning for these people. I'm just going to remind you what reality is.
But all Dennis, right?
You just said moments ago, we're divisive,
but we're also hypersensitive right now, aren't we, to some extent?
Hypersensitive. Yeah. It's insane. You know, you can't say anything without upsetting somebody. Listen, man, that's comedy. Comedy is the ultimate form of democracy because people, when you're performing comedy or like when you're reading this book, hopefully, you know, your body involuntarily makes a sound. It's called laughter.
Yeah.
Okay. Because you discovered some truth. So, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, this book is hopefully Republicans, Democrats alike can laugh at it. And otherwise, if you don't have a sense of humor about it, get out of the way anyways. I'm not interested in talking to you, you know?
I've heard you say that when you've been doing shows over the past year and a half, you would certainly make fun of Donald Trump, but you would also equally make fun of Hillary Clinton. And you realized we're all here to have a good time. Just make fun of whoever's out there.
Yeah, listen, man, I thought Hillary was a flawed candidate. I mean, so was Trump,
yeah.
Right? But that was an amazingly remarkable election, no matter which side you were on and how you looked at it. And it kind of kicked off because I do two live concerts a year. I do a stand-up concert in Boston for the Cam Neely Cancer Foundation every year, and I do one for the Michael J. Fox Parkinson's Foundation. And, you know, you get up on stage right after the election. I had both those shows last year. And I got up on stage and I made fun of Hillary and Democrats. I made fun of Republicans and Trump. And the audience was laughing on both sides. So I realized there is common ground, okay? And a lot of it's called comedy. So I just want to make sure that everybody – I wanted to make known my feelings about this current atmosphere where everybody's so sensitive to everything, you know? And one of the things I did was there's a section in the book called 4 Score and 7 Seconds Ago where I reimagine – historical figures, if they had Twitter accounts like Abraham Lincoln, and they tweeted the way that the President Trump does. So there's like a whole 25-page section of the book that's just fake tweets from people like Hitler and FDR and Betty Ford. because it's again, it's everybody's taking everything too seriously. In my opinion, you know.
I had read, you know, a quote from you, sick of the Clintons, sick of the Bushes. And we, you know, you said this isn't a political book. Bill and I don't like to do a political show, but at some point you have to discuss what's going on in this crazy world of ours on both sides.
You really do. And that's why, you know, and I have two kids. They're adults now. They're 27 and 25 years old. And thank God they have, you know, great sense of humor. But, you know, they thought that election was the end of the world. It's not the end of the world. None of it's the end. It's one of the great things about being in America is every 4 years we get to fire people if we want. Okay.
Right.
So nothing is the end of the world. It's up to us to change it, you know? And, you know, basically what I did with the book, hopefully, is just tackling racism and sexism and all these different subjects and reminding ourselves how funny some of it is and how ridiculous some of our extremes are. You know, safe spaces. Yeah. Forget about it.
I don't even get that.
You know, impeaching Trump. And impeaching Trump. It's never going to happen. The last time, by the way, you're only reinforcing his base. Because the last guy that got impeached was Bill Clinton. At the end of his impeachment, his approval rating was 65%.
How does that happen?
We're on a different planet, you know?
Dennis, I heard you.
I've been telling people this, like, sorry, go ahead.
No, you go ahead. Go on.
I was going to say, one of the things I talk about in the book, but also I've been talking about with my Democratic friends who've lost their sense of humor, complaining about Trump. I said, listen, stop complaining about Trump and find somebody who can beat him, okay? Yeah, because Bernie Sanders is not going to beat Trump. I don't even know. I mean, Bernie's what, 90 now? I mean, he's too old anyways. But you got to find yourself a candidate, and it might have to be a celebrity, given this new world we live in. You know,
how
we elected
it?
A TV reality star, you know. So
You were on with Howard Stern the other day, and this very topic came up, and you suggested somebody, and I love this name, George Stephanopoulos. That's a great idea.
Well, I was on George's show the next morning, and he says he's not running. But I said, your contract's up in a year. So I offered to take over his TV job and let him run George 2020. You know, I like Oprah because we get free stuff every couple of weeks. That's one of the things I'd love to have. But listen, man, in the book, I found this poll, you know, which was done last year about the 10 most trusted people in America.
Yeah.
And 8 of the first 10 people are actors. I mean, literally, Tom Hanks is number one, Sandra Bullock is number two, and Denzel is number three. I mean, if that's where we find ourselves, we better pick one of those people to run as a Democrat. Because, and by the way, I mentioned this in the book, and I talked about it on Howard, and I'm half joking. I think we should get rid of the election process and just have a reality show called President Idol. Or, you know, America's Got Leaders, and let Howard Stern and Howie Mandel and a couple of women, you know, be the judges and have it just run for 13 weeks. So we save all that time and those stupid debates and make them dance and sing and do everything else. And then on November 2nd or whatever, we vote by text and whoever wins is the president.
That's I love it.
You may not be far off. That may be in our near future how we elect a president from this point forward.
Yeah.
And by the way, it would be way cheaper, right? And we'd find out a hell of a lot more about these people. I mean, those debates are just ridiculous, man. We don't find out anything. They're just up there bloviating, you know?
So when reality shows became a reality and somebody would have said to you, yeah, someday one of the hosts of one of these reality shows will be the president, you wouldn't have believed that in a million years, would you?
I don't think any of us believed it even a year and a half ago.
No.
I don't think he believed it.
I don't think he believed it either. And I think, you know, you got to give him credit, man. His motto resonated with people. Hillary's motto sucked. Hillary for president. That's like, what the hell does that mean? You know what I mean? The most boring motto I've ever heard. The most vanilla motto ever. You know?
Right.
She should have run on the motto, hey, it's my turn. You know what I mean? That would have been a better idea. But I'm sick of the Clintons and the Bushes. Thank you for your service. Let's move on. We need new people, okay?
Yep.
That's why I'm saying I don't think Oprah wants the job, but I think she's too young to run. But if we change the rule and let people under the age of 35 run, I've been saying Emma Stone, 2020.
Why
people
not?
Love her.
All right.
You know, I don't know if she wants the job, you know?
Now
Derek Jeter, 2020.
I can see now why your mission is.
What's weird is that we're joking about this, but the truth is, in 3 years, we can find out that Derek Jeter is going to be the next president.
Sure.
That's how crazy this stuff is.
Yep.
Your hashtag, Make America Laugh Again, you're definitely trying to do it because we've forgotten how to laugh. We have to laugh again. Why We Don't Suck. You're going to be in Naperville tonight, correct? 7 o'clock, Wentz Concert Hall.
No. At...
November 1st.
No.
What is today?
November
1st.
I know. See, we're...
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
All right,
but
yes.
People should line up
okay?
now, Dennis.
Yeah.
People should line up tonight.
November 1st, so a week from yesterday. November 1st, Wentz Concert Hall at North Central College. That's in Naperville. This is hosted by Anderson's Bookshop. I can't wait to finish this book, Why We Don't Suck, because we really have to laugh again.
Yeah, we really do. And by the way, if you come down, we're going to do a Q&A. Everybody gets their book signed. You know, and I take pictures with everybody, and we're going to have a blast. We'll laugh our asses off, and everybody, hopefully, will go home happy.
Dennis, fun to talk to you.
That's the whole idea.
You'll pull it off. If anyone can pull it off, it's you. Next time you're in Chicago, please stop by. We'd love to see you.
I'd love to, guys. Thanks.
You got it. It's Dennis Leary. Again, the book is Why We Don't Suck. It's available wherever better books are sold. Come see him in Naperville on Wednesday, November 1st.
Not tonight.
Don't go tonight. He will not be there tonight.
God, I don't know what happened to me.
You got excited.
I did.
It happens. All right. Some news, and then Judy Gold joins us live in studio. Stick around. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN.